Blog Talk Radio.
Right. Sounds like you got me, Kurt, right?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. We'll see you in a little while, right?
Yeah.
All right. 7:40.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, daddy-daughter final. You know, Jump Force finally got to meet up. And, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Speedway Anywhere. blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere. Your motorsports and multi-sports hour. Rich is in the ditch again. Not quite sure why. Hopefully someone pulls him out. Maybe Winnie. Winnie's got the, Winnie's got the tug. Winnie's got the horse. Winnie's got the whole nine yards. He can do the job. Winnie is more than capable of getting Rich out of the ditch. So let's yeah, sounds good to me. We're gonna be doing something a little different tonight. My hosts, my co-hosts, my others didn't quite come through, and I'm a little angered by it. But, hey, Rich is in the ditch. Jesse is not able to come through. And what I want to do is revent the Allison story. The Allison story is... you know, it's a long, loaded blogcast, and I'm going to repodcast this, and this will not be available to listener call-ins. So we're going to repeat the Ellison story on Bobby, Donnie, Davey, and who I call the Forgotten Ellison of Clifford, who passed away in 1992.
Head over to your local Sprint store and get the Samsung Galaxy S9 for 50% off with Sprint Flex Lease when you add a new line. It's loaded with great features, including Samsung's best camera ever. Visit Sprint.com/Galaxy or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Galaxy S9 $16.50 a month after $16.50 monthly credit. Applied within two bills for 18 months. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. With approved credit and $30 activation fee. Restrictions apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
So where do you even start when it comes to the Allison Legacy? There's even a touring division called the Allison Legacy Series. I believe it's been around since the 1990s. Most remember Donnie and Bobby Allison in the first green to checker coverage of the 1979 Daytona 500 Cale Yarbrough and Donnie were first and second when they wrecked going into turn three. A lot of he said, but in the end, Donnie and Bobby proved blood is thicker than rubber as the infamous fight broke out while Petty went on to win. My favorite line is Bobby Allison saying, Cale just kept beating his nose against my fist. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I love that line. That's classic. Some remember Davey's 1992 first time under the lights all-star race where he won, but only the car went to victory lane because Davey was knocked out coming across the finish line after the collision with Kyle Petty. For some, it's 1988 Daytona 500 when Bobby and Davey finished first and second. They were also known as the Alabama Gang, along with Red Farmer. But the actual Alabama Gang, Bobby and Donnie, were from Miami. It wasn't until 1958 that they moved from Miami to Hueytown, Alabama, and joined Red Farmer. Hueytown, Alabama, to this day, still says home of the Alabama Gang. 84 wins, and there would have been more, but Bobby had to retire in 1988 after his infamous Pocono wreck nearly 4 months after him and Davies 1-2 Daytona finish. Bobby is currently 80 years old and an inductee to the 2011 NASCAR Hall of Fame. He now spends most of his days back on the Atlantic coast of Florida again, where he reconciled with his wife, Judy. He made his first start in Cup in 1961 at Daytona as well, and then another at Daytona in the July race, and then Atlanta and Charlotte. Bobby would break through with three wins in 1966, starting at Oxford from the pole, then Islip, New York, and Beltsville, Maryland again, also from the pole, en route to his 84 wins. His first Daytona 500 win came in 1978 with another in 82 and his third in 1988. Of course, that being the back-to-back with his son. From the home track news, there was an interim race along the way in 1976. His worst wreck so far that was supposed to be career-ending was a short track crash into a cement wall in 1976 at Elko Speedway in Minnesota, where he broke 11 bones and doctors said he might never drive again. He was out of the hospital in 4 days and started a Winston Cup race next Sunday at Nashville. Although he needed relief from Neil Bonnet, and that was before Neil Bonnet was full-time Cup driver. Bobby won his Cup Series title in 1983. It was at this time his boys David and Clifford began exploring stock car racing. It was 1988 when Bobby and Davey finished first and second in the Daytona 500. Unfortunately, that memory would be taken away by concussion 4 months later when Bobby had that wreck at Pocono. To this day, he still has no recollection after months of rehab. And of course, that was the career ender for Bobby Allison. I'm reminded of what I call the forgotten Allison, Clifford Allison, the youngest son of Bobby Allison. It's been over 25 years now of Clifford's death in a crash during a practice session in the Busch Series at Michigan on August 13, 1992. Just past 1:30 p.m. that day, he broke loose in turn three and made hard contact into the outside retaining wall. He was only 27 years old. Just as his career was beginning to take shape, he lost his life. He was following in the footsteps, of course, of his famous father. Clifford began driving race cars in 1983, the year his dad took his Cup Series title. Like so many racers, it all began in street stocks, followed by limited sportsman races, the All-Pro Late Model Series, now called the K&N, IMSA sports cars, ARCA, and then he then began running what was the NASCAR Busch Series, where he made 24 starts. During his short but promising career, he only competed in 24 NASCAR events, with his best finish being a sixth on April 13, 1992, the year he passed. And that was at Bristol. He began gaining experience and beginning to showcase his talent on some of NASCAR's toughest tracks. That day in Michigan, Bobby was there to offer support and guidance on a track where he had collected four career cup victories, one being in 1971, two being in 1981, and one being in 1982, respectively. Throughout the morning, they felt optimistic about a good finish in the upcoming 200-mile race the day after on Saturday. Bobby says, "I remember he was starting to run well. Each time we came into the garage, we talked about how the car was handling and what to do to make it better. Just before he backed out of the garage stall for the final time, he looked at his dad and he said, 'Dad, we're going to go get him.' As Clifford got up to speed, something drastically broke loose. He headed in turn three. It went terribly wrong, sending him into the outside wall. And Bobby was there waiting for Clifford to come back around the front stretch. But he never did. And this was at a time when we didn't have the big pit boxes and binoculars and monitoring and whatnot, and, you know, the RVs. Reg Kegel was Clifford's crew chief, and he looked at Bobby and said, "Clifford hit the wall." Bobby said he called Clifford on the two-way, didn't get an answer, called him again, still no answer. And it was about that time that he saw the ambulance go down pit road the wrong direction at a high rate of speed, and that's when Bobby realized that Clifford was in trouble. Clifford died en route to Foote Memorial Hospital, located in nearby Jackson, from the Speedway. A statement issued by Speedway officials stated that the cause of death, of course, was severe blunt trauma. It was the first crash fatality in the history of the Busch Grand National Series, which had begun 10 years earlier in 1982. It was also the first racing fatality at Michigan, which opened in 1969. Brother Davey was flying to Michigan International Speedway by private airplane as Clifford's crash occurred and was notified of his death. Weighed down with sorrow, Davey still competed in the Cup Series race that Sunday and finished fifth. Just 11 months to the day, on July 13th, 1993, when Davey died as a result of the helicopter crash at Daga. Davey passed away at 32. Bobby often thinks of his sons. He still carries a worn colored photo in his wallet featuring their wide smiles and Clifford holding the the two fingers behind Davey's head like the bunny ears. Bobby often states that photo says it all. 1992 was a very trying roller coaster year for Davey. He came out of the gate winning the Daytona 500, and as mentioned, his driver's side impact in the All-Star race in the final laps of Kyle Petty, which the car went to victory lane and he didn't. Davey won five races that year, one being after the fatality of his brother. So technically five, being that they're points paying races, but one, I guess, would make it six because that was the non-points paying All-Star race. It was one of the tightest ever championship races that year, too, going into Atlanta, where Davey wrecked out and Kowicki and Bill Elliott were decided by most laps led for the championship. It bears to mention that Davey actually had the most top fives that year and tied Bill Elliott for wins. Laps led were very component that year. Davey finished 4,015 in points, Elliott 4,068 in points, and then, of course, Kowicki, 4,078 in points. Now, if you take 5 points, you know, for a lap led, 10 points for most laps led, it added up, and that was the deciding factor that year. Then, of course, it was the following year, in 1993, when Davey passed away at 32 years old. Donnie Allison bears more than mentioning. I found out a lot about this guy over the last couple of days as I was doing my research. Donnie Allison is now 78 years old and made his last Cup start at Charlotte in 1988, but did continue to race, making 26 starts in the Busch Series in 1989. He also made two starts in the Indianapolis 500 in 1970 and 71. He raced full-time in 70 in the Indy Series as well as Cup. He raced part-time in 71 and full-time in Cup. Both years in the IndyCar Series were for Foyt Greer Racing, obviously partially owned by A.J. Foyt. He was no slouch in the Indy 500. He finished fourth in 1970, and he finished sixth in 1971. And then Donnie had 10 Cup Series wins spanning from 1968 to 1978, three being in 1970 while running the IndyCar Series, and then one in 1971 while running the IndyCar Series. So it's quite the feat. Quite the feat. His highest point finish in Cup Series was 16th, but that's far from indicative of his performance. His finish first or finish last mentality, checkers or records mentality, was very clear. The Allison Legacy Series. The best way to find them is www.allisonlegacy.com. Their final race of the year will be October 20th on the East Coast. They mainly run throughout the North Carolina and South Carolina area, although I know that they have made some starts at Martinsville as well. Bobby has stated many times that Clifford loved to play and died working. Davey loved to work and died playing. God only knows what might have been. Now Bobby gets to play in his final years back on the shores of Florida. Thanks for listening. We'll be doing more historical motorsports stories, and listener input is always welcome. We'll be right back. So, hey, 917-889-2053. Anyone wants to chime in? I got a couple of pretty cool little prizes. Valley Fair, free go-kart ticket with a paid admission. I also have a K-Fan hat. Not sure if I'm willing to give it up, but I might. Hey, let's get straight to the reins of the horses, the reigning and the reigning R-E-I-N identity and the R-E-G-N-I-N-E or whatever. It was a mess of a weekend. Rain soaked was Michigan. And, of course, those have been a lot of the horse reigns as well. Only Kyle Busch reigns closest, R-E-I-G-N-S, at Gibbs Racing, with four wins. And, of course, Truex is no slouch in the tortoise. So, I'm not going to go into shit. So, second win for Voyer at Michigan, and another for Stuart Haas Racing, making it 7 with Harvick's 5. Voyer with 2, Harvick with 5, Kurt Busch 1-2-3 in the rain shortened race at Michigan, and Eric Almirola just outside the top 10 and 11th. The points are currently ranked Kyle Busch, Harvick, Logano, Keselowski, Voyer, Truex, Kurt Busch, and then, of course, Marola in 11th, just outside the top 10. Man, those guys are strong. And you can't deny that the Gibbs team is putting on quite the show with Kyle, even though the other, it's okay. Denny Hamlin's inside the top 10. Also, you know, Kyle Larson being the only Chevy in the top 10 at 10th, and even Jimmy Johnson with only 2 top 5s back in 12th and winless. A lot of people think that the Chevys are a disadvantage. I'm going to call BS on that. They, you know, the Chevys have been dominant for so many years. And when you look at Penske coming out of the Dodge camp and doing what he's done with Kez and Logano, there's no denying that there is a talent pool. There really is a talent pool. I don't care if you put Logano and Keselowski in a freaking Akita. Those guys know how to get it done. So the Fords are dominant for the first time in a long time, and it has nothing to do with Roush Racing. Roush Racing, obviously, was the dominant folks, along with Yates. Stewart switched to Ford. Not quite sure how that happened. Penske switched after Dodge left. Petty went to Dodge after all those years, you know, and went to Ford. Toyota is top rock with Kyle Busch and Martin Truex. Kyle Busch with 4 wins, Martin Truex with 2. When you look at that, there is Clint Bowyer who's got the 2. We've looked at lap sled, we've looked at performance, we looked at top 5s, we looked at, I don't think that Truex or Bowyer are more dominant than the other. Obviously Logano got the win at Dega, correct? Was it Dega? Somebody call me in at 917-889-2053 and tell me. Kyle Busch being the only other Toyota winner other than Martin Truex. Chevy only has one win at Daytona with Austin Dillon, the Childress car. Obviously, the 3. There's a lot of controversy about that. They thought that it might have been set up. It might have been blah, 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 blah. You know, the conspiracy theorists. There's no way. No way at all. On a recircle plate, 200 mile per hour track, the amount of nutrition, and all the above, that they could have set up that race. Yeah, it was a great finish. It was number three, 20 years to the date of Dale Earnhardt's win, finally. And then, of course, Bubba Wallace, Darrell Wallace Jr., hosting the number 43. That just, you can't set that up. There's no way. I've had this with local major sports stations. I've had this conversation with New York and California stations, and that they thought that this might have been a big rig contest, and there's just no way. No way at all. Going through my notes here on social media. And this bears mentioning, call in and win a go-kart pass at Valley Fair, Speedway Anywhere, 917-889-2053 before 8 p.m. Central Time. You can win that go-kart pass right there off the parking lot and whatnot. And I'll give it to you. I'll go get it for you. Or we'll get you at the will call gate. So let's get back to my notes, my liner notes. What I got to mention is that although Chevy only has the one win at Daytona with Austin Dillon in the Childress car, Hendrick obviously struggling. Not even Chase Elliott, not even Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson's got two top fives. Kind of embarrassing. No wins. But Johnny Sauter does lead the truck series in a Chevy. And Elliott Sadler leads the somebody's playing with me. Johnny Sauter does, however, lead the truck series in the Chevy. And Elliott Sadler is, well, in the Xfinity series in a Chevy. But again, Fords are dominant in the Cup Series. 917-889-2053. I'm going to cut to a quick little, just a quick little break, because I do need to look at some notes here. right. Well, coming into this weekend, we are looking at Iowa, which is one of my favorite speedways on the circuit. Why we don't have a cup race there? I could moan on about that all day long. Now, as far as the points go, Elliott Sadler leads them. He had a massive mistake. Cole Custer, Hemric, Tyler Reddick, and then Bell round up the top 5. Points leader Sadler made a mistake when he had a contact with Bowman, Alex Bowman, Cup driver, Busch driver, losing a ton of positions and ended up 30th at the finish. He took full responsibility and apologized to Bowman as well as his own team and Bowman's team. Penalties have definitely hurt a few guys like Justin Allgaier, who sits just outside the top 5 in 6 after infractions at Dover. Cup has Father's Day weekend off, comes back at Sonoma on the 24th, I believe. Yes. Trucks will run primetime on FS1 Saturday evening this weekend at Iowa. Once again, probably my favorite track series. And the Xfinity Series running Sunday in the afternoon as well at Iowa. They'll be back to what I hope will be my Saturday evening race at Iowa in August. Indy Racing League has weekend off and will return at Road America over there on the West Coast. East Coast? Yeah, East Coast. And Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, that giant 4-mile road track. Points right now are Scott Dixon, Alexander Rossi, and then Will Power. It wasn't looking like that for a long time. I can't believe that Joseph Newgarden isn't higher in the points. NHRA, this is bummer news. Tom Mongoose McEwen, he passed away June 10th at 81. He ran both top field and funny car. Not the winningest, but definitely is memorable of a guy like, you know, John Force and others. I guess the best way to put it is the mongoose and the snake. You know, Snake Prudhomme, Mongoose McEwen. Those guys, you know, I'm not sure about the snake, but I do know, however, that Mongoose was a, he was there in the, sorry, I'm taking a drink of water here. I know that Mongoose was both strong in the funny car and the top field. And not sure where Prudhomme was at. I know that Garlitz was a big part of that. When it comes to top field, I also know that long before, you know, the Daughters of the Force of the Daughters, that whole thing, and the only girl out there was Angel Ceiling. Sorry, I finally got my shot of Gatorade. Gatorade Zero, by the way. I am a diabetic. And I was able to finally get a little bit of me. So, yeah. Mongoose McEwen, 81 years old. I know that, like, even now, I even know that now that John Force is, I believe, 68 years old, and then Big Daddy Don Garlitz. I remember when Big Daddy Don Garlitz, he tried on these things that were nothing but little fan belts that he put on the front wheels of his car and decided to try them out. And he was, it was crazy because at the end of every run, he burnt them out, he ran them out, and they were on aluminum wheels. He was trying to run less weight, and it just never materialized. And sooner or later, the NHRA said, you know what, screw you. I hear you online, Kurt. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Sounds great. So, along the lines of the Mongoose, you remember him?
Actually, no.
Yeah. Tom Mongoose McEwen. He died July 10th, 81 years old, and he was one of the big... He was one of the big guys. He was, part of the Prudhomme camp. He was part of it. And matter of fact, I believe he was actually a teammate. NHRA returns tomorrow at Thunder Valley in Bristol. It's right across the track. Or right across the parking lot from Bristol. Bruton Smith owns it all. Steve Torrance leads top field. Courtney Forrest leading funny car. And then, of course, had the last weekend one of those rare events where Daddy gets to go against daughter. Pro soccer leader Gregerson and Andrew Hines lead pro soc, and then of course pro motorcycle. The feel great story that made the final bracket to face off was of course Courtney at Richmond for the first time in forever after all the accidents and injuries plague season with John Force. And then some. Of course, Brittany Force is not, Brittany Force runs top heels, so she won't be running against Daddy. But yeah, Courtney and Dad ran neck and neck, and no failures to the car, no squiggles, no nothing, no nada, no not. And Courtney,
the force is strong in that one.
Well, I got a story about that one. But yeah, it needed a feel good story. You never know when the last time that John Forrest is going to disappear off the board. Trucks. As mentioned, they will run Saturday evening at Iowa. I'm kind of bummed because it was about the closest thing to a real NASCAR track, and a special someone in my life, you know who she is, even offered to make it happen, you know, spend the money and gas and make it a Father's Day weekend. But hey, maybe me and you can do the August race.
I'll have to think about that, but
there's no thinking about it. It's just making it happen. Hey, the points currently are Johnny Sauter in first, Noah Gregson, my guy. Third is Brett Moffitt. Fourth, Brent Effinger. I always screw up his name. But multiple time champions, Matt Crafton. You know, he's in fifth, but he's not exactly top rock. Indy will be appearing there Sunday, July 8th. That'd be pretty cool. You've been at that track. Can you imagine?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
All that downforce, all that. It'd be like watching the ultimate go-kart race. It's called the Iowa Corn 300. You know what I loved in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, when I was at the airport? No?
No, what did you love at Cedar Rapids, Iowa?
The t-shirt that said, "What happens in the corn stays in the corn."
Well, you got Children of the Corn, and of course, don't forget my all-time favorite, Cornholio. You know? Yeah.
How did that become Cornholio?
I could not tell you. And he's from Lake Titicaca. Yep. Yeah. He even made his Spanish teacher mad.
And where is Butt?
You know.
Isn't it Butt, Montana?
Yeah, it's actually called Butte, but everybody calls it Butt. Buddy. You know, because it's got the E. But it does look like Butt. Montana. You know, so.
All right, so let's fill in the blanks here. Andy will be appearing there Sunday, July 8th, for none other than the Iowa Corn 300. What the hell is the Iowa Corn 300? How can you sponsor a race calling it the Iowa Corn 300? I mean, what kind of budget is there to say Iowa Corn 300?
It's probably a bunch of corn farmers, which they got a lot of in Iowa. It's a big agricultural state. So, you know, it's probably their group sponsoring it. I mean, you know, like you used to have, the Cup Series used to have like the UAW 300, so it was the union that would sponsor it and stuff. So, probably got another group that's going to sponsor it. So,
interesting.
You know, yeah, it's the sponsor. It's, you know, they're probably promoting Iowa corn.
How the heck do you have to promote corn?
Why don't you call them up and ask them?
Who do I call?
Call up the Iowa Board of Agriculture. I don't know.
You remember when we were headed down there and we stopped by the casino visitor station and they didn't even know about the giant treehouse in Iowa.
Well, neither did I until I went to Iowa. They were technically in Minnesota. Well, no, wait, they were in Iowa. Yeah, that's right. They were right on the other side of the border.
All right. Yeah.
A lot of corn down there.
So it's the Iowa Corn 300 on that Sunday, July 8th. And then, of course, up here is the World of Outlaws across the other border. It's Cedar Lake Speedway.
The July 6th. That's an Alcoholics 300.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding. The Cheesehead 500. They need the World of Outlaw cars to have a 500-mile race on dirt. That would be kind of fun.
Can you imagine if there was a spectator race on Cedar Lake Speedway?
That would be funny.
Nobody would make it home.
No.
All right. The ARCA Series also follows on Saturday, July 14th at Elko Speedway, and then the X Games in Minneapolis the next weekend. Hard to choose if I have to. You know, it's a very busy couple of months. Also, NHRA, Lucas Nationals, and Brainerd, August 16th through August 19th. I think we need to go. What about you?
I haven't thought about it one little bit yet.
You know, it's the only major league race left in the state. I think it's time to go. And then, of course, that with all the bull riding demolition derbies I want to go see throughout the county fair circuits. I was hoping that Jesse was going to be online for this. But all that shit, stuff. I dropped an S bomb. Triple Crown.
Justify no, my love. We have another Triple Crown winner. Are we going to get another one here? Like Bob Costas said, they come in bunches.
$30 million ejaculate. God, I'm getting bad tonight.
Ew.
I gotta shut up. But yeah, Triple Crown, no suspense would justify. The back marker of Gronk. That was exciting.
Yeah, he was actually making a run for it. That horse was not giving up.
Yeah. And like I've told you and like I've told anyone I've talked to, he looks like a regular American mutt horse. He looks like a mule. He's not a pretty boy. Not a pretty boy. Just plain out strong and stern and, you know, we'll see. We'll see if he gets the job done. They were saying that justifies breeding, to put it mildly, is going to become worth $30 million for the next however many years.
Oh, I easily could believe that.
You know, American Pharoah, too, also put up the little colt.
Yeah.
What was it? The day after Kentucky?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's skip to... Okay. I guess I'd be skipping too far ahead. First was Justify. Second was Gronk. Gronk was the performer. And then Hoffberg. You know anything about this Hoffberg?
No. I did notice the name, though. And I looked at the field after the field was announced.
You know, I'm curious about this whole turf series going into next year. Is anyone give a rat's ass about now? That's in final five laps. Hercules. Herculean. No Herculean and Herculean Matafa, the guy that's already eliminated from the Vikings. Any thoughts on that?
Not really, just that it does happen. It's really the only thing I could say about that.
Seems to me that, you know, for some reason or the other, was looking at him as tight end that would have made great results.
Huh.
So, where are you as far as county fairs, as far as bull riding, as far as...
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems to me that, you know, I got really screwed up on my show, and I'm just improvising, and... How'd the wrestling go last weekend, Lindale Lake Open Streets on Sunday?
Well, I saw Thunder Frog. I saw, didn't really hear the names, but I believe I saw Cody Rice. You know, you obviously could spot him from a mile away. Saw the Cat. Darren Corbin's now the Uptown champion and got a big cheer there. saw this girl that really was in love with him. But I don't know if it's on Darren or not. I didn't have to use the bathroom this time, so I definitely didn't see Darren that I can recall.
Yeah, I remember that, that joint there at the Uptown. It's actually kind of a co-bathroom. It's, you know, the wash sinks are different and otherwise. Hey, folks, 917-889-2053. I still have a go-kart ticket to give away. So, at Valley Fair. Also, a K-Fan hat as well. So, I don't know why you guys are waiting out. So, yeah, the latest and greatest in wrestling, the best in the best balls. Let's talk about the best balls. Now, who's got the biggest balls of them all?
Well, Accept does, by far.
There are balls to the wall. How are they?
Yeah, but... Yeah, but you got to give it, hey, any guy that could put his balls to the wall, I mean, you know, just like the video, you know, they put the wrecking ball to the wall, so, you know, I mean, and then, of course, Crocus came and screwed it up for him because they were behind the wall, and then they started to rebuild it, you know, just
what
because
about
of Crocus, you know.
What about Miley Cyrus? She came in like a wrecking ball.
Personally, I wanted to see Adele on that wrecking ball. That song was, she would have been great at it, but. American Music Awards, though, when she had the cat singing with her was funny.
Oh, my God, that was disturbing.
Oh, God.
Meow, 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 meow.
Yeah.
I'm going to say biggest balls, Miami, beach balls. But who's got the most quality balls of them all?
Sweaty balls, SNL.
Sweaty
sure
balls.
Somebody,
SNL.
Sweaty balls. People do know what I'm talking about.
What about Chef from South Park?
You know. No, I gotta go with Accept, but I want to go with Sweaty Balls. You know.
So you're not gonna go with Sweet Salty Balls from Chef?
Well, nah, I can't.
Just going to sit here and suck on my balls.
So.
All right. I wanted to catch up on one thing real quick, and this is something that came down the line, and, you know, I got my regular associated motorsports thing. I need to bring up, I'm not sure where Trevor Bain is at as far as his condition with MS. I do, however, know that Kenseth will return in the number 6 at Kentucky. Most recent announcement is Kenseth will run at least 10 more per route this year. This brings to mind... when Jeff Gordon came out of his short retirement, do you remember that? When Dale Jr. Dale Jr. was going through the concussions and couldn't return.
I kind of do.
he had to sit out a long period while Gordon and now driver of the 88 in the Cup Series actually filled in. So also brings to mind when Darrell Waltrip took over the number one in the Penske car. You remember that?
Yeah.
Steve Park was seriously injured.
Oh, yeah. So,
how are we doing on time? We're knocking on 8 o'clock. I should probably wrap. So let's... it wasn't the final laps that I wanted to do, but my original drag segment was, anyone want to play final laps? I have 5 minutes available, but you got to call in, and it's not going to happen. 5 to go. Is anyone going to care about horse racing until next May?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just got to go to a track. You got to keep up with it. You got to – it wouldn't be around if it didn't have some kind of fan base. So, you know, I mean, it's got – there's different things going on all over the country, so –
I've kind of learned it from TV Go on the channel 741 on Comcast. There's a lot more to it than people realize.
Oh, yeah. There's more than the Triple Crown. A lot more.
And then the Breeders' Cup, I'm not sure how that actually goes down, but you can bet I'm going to learn it.
Nope.
4 to go. Are jockeys actually little mythical creatures like Harry Potter at Hogwarts or whatever?
Oh. Well, they are pixies. They are short. But mythical, well, if you got a Triple Crown winner, Eddie Arcaro, some people still to this day think he was mystical because he was a jockey for 2 Triple Crowners. So maybe they are mythical.
Nice.
They might be mythical.
They are just creepy little creatures of, if you were to pull up next to them at the pump at a Super America or, I mean, would you think there's some little old guy? Some little, I don't know. Got a life going for them, and they're probably making a million times a million over what me or you ever have.
Oh, yeah.
All right, 3 to go. Red Bear. Oh, Red Bear. See, there, I did it again, even though I rehearsed it. Red Bull Air Racing, Air Jordans. Or Special Ed, wanting to see Air Bud.
Oh, Special Ed. I love the Red Bull Air. I always call it Red Bull Air Raid. But Special Ed, wanting to see Air Bud, by far. Ed's a cool dude.
You know, that one, it was juggling it. I wanted to do the Airheads movie. I want to do the Airheads taffy. But yeah, I would have to go. Ed, wanting to go see Air Bud with multiple friends. That's just,
oh yeah,
dude, that's priceless.
How much is it? One take five, my friends. Gonna go see Air Bud. Yay! 5 cents.
All right,
yay!
That'd be 20.
Gonna take five, my friends. Yeah, that'd be 25. Gonna take six, my friends. Yeah, that'd be 30. Oh God, anybody can count. Yay! 5 cents. Yay!
Two to go. May the force be with you, or may the force family of drag racers be with you.
Oh, well, I can tell you this right now. They're not going to water down that family. You know, I hope number nine just bakes it, just because... You know, Solo's already lost steam, although I'm going to probably see it this weekend. But the Force family is not going anywhere. And the Skywalkers only got one left. So the Force, you know, and the Force family is going to be there for a while.
Now, Ashley... Obviously, you retired years ago. Courtney, she married Graham Rahal. I hate her because of it. You know, it's like, hey, cutie, you went out and met another racer and whatever. Brittany Force had a massive accident in the Top Fuel series. I hope she does better next year. I don't know if she will. But Courtney is on the Force. And this last weekend at Richmond was a huge victory. So,
Okay.
Klingon.
Don't bring out the caution.
Not yet. Final lap. Klingons, things that cling to you, or the bald eagle that clung to the Mariners player?
Oh, God, I want to say Klingons because I'm a Trekker. But just the fact that, you know, if a bald eagle comes right up to you anywhere, you got to like that. You got to like that. Just out of the blue, you know, completely out of the blue.
Hey, Captain Kurt, I've been saving that one because, you know, the Mariners deal in the opening game at Target Field.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of precious. All right.
Good to see
well,
an eagle. Yay! How much for five? How much would it be if I brought in five bald eagles?
That'd be 25.
Yay, I can bring in six bald eagles and a Mariner pitcher. Yay! We're all going to go see Air Bud. Yay! We're all going to see Steve Miller perform Fly Like an Eagle. Yay!
Who are the guys on that show anyway on Crank Yeagers? You got Special Ed, you got...
Oh, God, all
Corolla.
The characters, Wanda Sykes dead, the Adam Carolla characters. Yeah, Tracy Morgan did a few characters. Him calling up the personals at the Village Voice, the donk-a-donk butt. Mm-hmm. now.
The guy that left his junk in the backseat of the toilet and was...
No.
Oh, this is definitely your brownie.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to keep it. It makes a good conversation piece.
All right, I'm gonna call Cap, and thank you, Cap Kirk.
All right.
Unfortunately, Jesse wasn't online. I'm your crew chief, Q. Wherever you go, get there fast. This has been Speedway Anywhere. BlogTalkRadio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. Your motorsports and multi-sports hour. Tune in Monday at 7 p.m. Central for your
go
weekend
see Air Bud.
Recap. Let's go see Air Bud.
So
let's do this. I think it turned out to be a great show. And thank God.
Good air, bud. Yay.
Good air, bud.
Okay.
Yay. Bye, son. Yay.